Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe America Tower in Midtown Atlanta on Peachtree Road, overlooking the majestic skyline of Buckhead, where the skies are clear. There's not a cloud in the sky, and it's been raining all day up until about 30 minutes ago, and now it is beautiful. All right, you know, sometimes we broadcast every week, and we talk about political things. Some shows are more important than others, just based on what is happening in the world today. And today is one of those. We are in the midst of a crisis in America where we are being asked to get involved in yet another Middle Eastern war, third one, this one completely different than the other two, and there are some really strong reasons not to. Now, I'm going to bring my brother on, and I'm also going to bring a friend of mine, Gary McFarland, on the phone. And I'm going to introduce Gary to begin with. Gary and I have been friends since the 1960s. He went out to California when I did, and we lived out there for years. He now lives in Bozeman, Montana area. And when I decided to go back to graduate school after voting for Jimmy Carter in 1976 and realizing what a fool I had been to do so and wanting to know things and wanting to understand things, and after having been out of school for a while, I had to take a graduate record examination, and I hadn't had a course in mathematics in 15 years. Gary, who graduated from Georgia Tech and is a civil engineer, sat down with me night after night for months, and as a result of what he did, I was able to not only get a good grade on the graduate record exam and get into Baylor University, but I was also able to get a full scholarship with stipend. After I got my master's degree, got a full scholarship and additional stipend to go to Emory for PhD work. And I wouldn't have been able to do that had Gary not taught me math, and he was very patient with me. But the nice thing about math, just for all of you who have kids that are going to go to college and everything, math has right answers. You can improve your score on math. And I just thought I would throw that in. And just one other thing. He played basketball with me and softball for the IB Dogs, and we were in the D League. Not A, not B, not C, but D. When we went into the game, the intensity went up, and the quality of the game went down. With that, I'm going to bring on Gary. Gary, how are you?
Very well. Thank you very much. Those were very kind words. I didn't recall helping you out that much with the math, but if I did, that's great. but thank you very much for asking me to call in.
Yeah. Now Gary is in the Antiochian Orthodox Church. Now, when the listeners look to say Antiochian, what in the world is that? That would be the church in Antioch from Acts 11. First time it's mentioned is in the Book of Acts, and it was founded by Barnabas and then by Paul. So the roots of the Church of Antioch go back to the biblical times. And so the orthodoxy that they're involved with is very similar to the Greek Orthodox, to the Russian Orthodox, and to the Coptic Church in Egypt. And because of his roots in Orthodoxy, that's what I want him to talk about a little bit today, because that goes straight into what is happening in Syria. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, thank you again. Yeah, you're right. The Antiochian Orthodox Church is a jurisdiction of the Orthodox Church that does come from the Church of Antioch that we read about in the Book of Acts. And also, I don't know if you mentioned to your people, but also I do come from a Protestant background. I grew up going to the Baptist Church, and then I was involved in Crusade, et cetera, and I didn't become Orthodox until I was about 40 years old. But having said that, it has been real interesting, the things that I've learned. I've learned a totally different perspective, if you will, about things and situations in the Mideast and what is currently going on and why. And one of the things that happened was that a man who grew up in, I think he grew up in Michigan, but he was going to our church in California, and this has been about 15 plus years ago. He traveled to the Middle East. Yes, can you hear me? Hello, do you hear me, Jack?
Yeah, okay, you there? Good. We got a little
I'm sorry.
Indiana says on us. Go ahead.
Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. But anyway, this young man that was going to our church in California traveled to the Middle East and was visiting a number of Christian sites. And he went to Syria. He went to Damascus. And as everybody would know, St. Paul, saw Christ and met him on the way to Damascus. And there he met a young woman that was an Orthodox Christian. They fell in love, got married, and so she came back to the United States with him. And she's been here, so 15-plus years. Anyway, when you talk to her about Syria and what's going on in Damascus, you hear a lot of things that, you know, you would probably wouldn't hear in our news media or from our government.
That's why you're on the air. Tell us
about it. I'm sorry?
So that's why you're on the air. Tell us about it.
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, she has an uncle who was high up in the Syrian government under Assad. And basically what she has said is that Assad has been very friendly to the Christians. He will visit Christian churches, Christian monasteries. He is Muslim, but apparently he has a very, I guess you'd call it a secular view in terms of governing. That is, he wants the different religious faiths to be able to live in peace there in Syria, which, you know, that's totally something you never hear about, and I was kind of surprised to hear that, but that was basically what she has said, and she's even met Assad, so has a little bit of personal knowledge of him. And the other thing that she mentioned, too, was is that those who are fighting against Assad, those who are trying to overthrow Assad, there's a couple of different factions, but some of them are very, very hostile toward Christians and other, you know, faiths, and that if Assad was overthrown, the government and their relationships with the other faiths would be much, much worse. And so right now the situation in Syria is just horrendous. The Metropolitan of the Antiochian Orthodox Church here in America, and his headquarters are in Inglewood, New York. He's from Lebanon, actually, but they put out a magazine every month called The Word, and I think the last monthly magazine came out, had a number of pictures and an article about what's going on in Syria, and the devastation and the destruction is just horrendous. I mean, I don't think what's happening in Egypt can even come close to comparing what's going on in Syria. And basically the Metropolitan said, and I think it's true, is that what's needed right now is peace. They don't need more arms going into Syria. They don't need more military action. They need to have peace, and for all the people. And, you know, only the good Lord knows how that can come about, and I, you know, hope that people will pray for that. And, you know, I think it would be, you know, the United States just needs to stay out of this and not get involved. I don't think the U.S. government and the media thoroughly understand all the things that are going on. So,
No, I agree with you. They don't. And here's the thing. In 1991, when Saddam Hussein, you know, invaded Kuwait, and George Herbert Walker Bush decided to push back with Desert Storm, we had vital interest as a nation. We had that.
Right.
Kuwait's right next door to Saudi Arabia. We cannot, we really can't get along without Saudi oil and Kuwaiti oil, and actually even Iraqi oil, which are big trading partners with us. Syria is not the same thing. We don't have, you know, they don't provide us any, there's not one thing about Syria that is in our national interest to protect. Not one.
Right.
It's a civil war, and it's horrible. Listen, Assad is no good guy, but there are no good guys.
Right, exactly.
I mean, is there anybody involved in this that you would really want to have lunch with? I don't think so. We don't know whether the gas was actually, the sarin gas was actually done by the rebels to... I mean, I just saw a video on YouTube that showed the Syrian rebels shooting this gas, and it couldn't have been doctored, and yet, you know, Barack Obama says, well, we have absolute proof that the gas was used by the Assad administration. And yet, less than a year ago, Barack Obama stood in the Rose Garden and said that the attack in Benghazi was caused by a reprehensible video clip. And then, you know, they,
right.
You know, and that was just bullface lie. 2 weeks later, he stands up in front of the United Nations and says the same thing. He lied. Knowing he was lying, and lying well to the entire world, making the United States of America look like fools in the process when the truth came out.
Right.
And
right.
Now it's supposed to be, well, you know, trust me. I mean, you know, I'm the government. We're here to lead. And the only reason that we're going to do this is for him to save face, since he imprudently said, don't cross this red line, and now he looks bad to the entire world.
Right, right.
Because he's incompetent.
Right.
He
well, you know,
know,
I think there's another aspect to this also, Jack, and that is people seem to forget that in the Middle East there, these countries like Syria, Iraq, even Saudi Arabia and everything, they haven't had a democratic government, I don't know if ever. Those people are not used to that. And the Arab people as a whole are very tribal. They've fought with one another forever. And, you know, it's in a way, it's nothing new. And for us to try to go in and force some Democratic government on them just would take an awful long time to be successful. Yeah, it just doesn't work. And it's like you say, there's no really good guys there. They all have their problems and issues, but it doesn't make sense for us to try to go in and side with one to help them out, and then all we do is just get more of them mad at us and cause more trouble.
You know, Gary, it's really interesting. As we can't even get the British to go along with us. Now, you know, say what you will about George W. Bush, he put together a coalition of 48 nations. Obama can't get anybody. He can get the French, maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
But here's something that I thought about, and I just would kind of like your reaction to this. All right, when they took the vote in Parliament, the nays were 12 more than the ayes, as far as yes, I want, you know, we want to support Cameron in essentially going to war against Assad. Now, if you'll remember, when Margaret Thatcher died, Obama didn't go to the funeral, nor did he send Biden to the funeral. Nobody from his administration went. He sent some undersecretaries who had worked with Ronald Reagan years earlier. That was a major snub to the British. Now, one more thing. When Obama came to office, he was presented with a bust of Winston Churchill that was given to him by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. He just sent the damn thing back. Didn't want it because it represented the imperialism of Great Britain. Now, here's what I wonder. If 7 people had changed their vote, the British would be with us. I just wonder how many of those members of Parliament don't like Barack Obama because he's so dadgum arrogant that he wouldn't do what he should have done with our number one ally in the world. That's how stupid I believe the man is. He does not have the capability of comprehending international politics, and he behaves like everyone is like he's the Oberfuhrer and everyone else is Untermensch, subhumans, and they don't like it. Now, the British in snubbing him is a major defeat. I don't care how they spin it, that is a major defeat. He does not have anybody, and I think that's why he is going to Congress, because he doesn't have any kind of backing for what he wants to do, and he doesn't even know what he wants to do. He wants to do a limited thing where he just shoots off some rockets and, I guess, declares victory and goes home. Didn't they have a movie about that one time, you know, years ago, where a nation, you know, wanted to declare war against a rich nation and then, you know, admit defeat immediately so that they could get rebuilt for nothing? I don't get it. But here's the thing that is really scary about this. The Assad administration said if they are attacked by the United States, that they're going to attack Israel, and they already have placed 500 Scud missiles, which aren't really that effective, but they've placed 500 Scud missiles, you know, to shoot at Israel. And the thing is that, you know, Syria is very close to Israel. It's not far away like Iraq was. It's Damascus is less than 50 miles away. And that would bring the Israelis in. If the Israelis come in, then that might bring the Iranians in, who said that they were going to come in. And the Russians are very, very involved in this, and Putin hates Obama, thinks he's a flake. And I, you know, I hate to admit that I agree with, you know, a dictator in Russia that he's correct about the president of the United States, but he is.
Well, I agree. And not and only that, but you know what, Jack, in terms of being Orthodox and learning about the Russian Orthodox Church and learning more.
Go ahead, Jerry. You broke up a little on that. In the terms of being Orthodox.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, in learning more about the Orthodox Church worldwide and learning about the Russian Orthodox Church and a little bit about their history, I think people would be surprised to find how much the Russian Orthodox Christian Church survived under communism. And I think they would be surprised to learn more about the country as it is today. I mean, we have a guy in our parish here in Montana who's from a little town south of Moscow. He does chemical research at the university. But, you know, even Russia, I don't think the U.S. really has a good understanding of the current situation. Not to say that they've got some perfect, wonderful government nowadays, but I tell you what you said about Putin and his view of Obama, I would agree with, and I would even go so far to say as I would rather see him be president of the United States than Obama. I mean, the guy at least has some guts, and I mean, people talk about how bad Russia is because of their restrictions on homosexual propaganda. I'm going, gosh, thank goodness somebody's got the guts to stand up against that kind of stuff, you know?
Well, and, you know, here's the thing. You know, Obama, that was his thing that he was the most adamant about was, you know, that Russia should have a more tolerant policy, you know, on homosexuality. And without any understanding of what Russians believe as Orthodox Christians, it just is, you know, it's not in that, that is not going to happen. And it's like, here he is lecturing to them, and a Russian Orthodox person would look at what Barack Obama said and say, you want us to accept perversion as legitimate, and the heck with you, we're not going to do it. And and somehow in our society we have legislated right and made it wrong, and wrong and made it right, and we are we're going to pay the consequences for that, and it's not going to be good. But this is just a perfect example of where we, meaning Obama, are trying to get involved in Russia, in how they run their country. And Putin's stronger than Obama. He doesn't have, I mean, what his response to all of the things with Obama, and this is literally what he said, was that Obama is a monkey with a grenade. That is, I mean, a monkey with a grenade. That was so funny when I heard it. I mean, it's impossible not to laugh. But it's true. And
right.
For the United States, who has been, I mean, we, for over 200 years, have been the light of the world for democracy and for having a way of life that allowed people to worship God as they chose, or not to worship if they chose not to. But now,
right,
we have a government that is coming down on Christianity in all forms, and they call, in the Army manuals now, they're saying that evangelicals, Catholics, Mormons, and this would include Orthodox people also, are extremists in the exact same way as Al-Qaeda and Hamas. And that is in the military manuals right this minute. This is what they are teaching them. And this is coming from this administration, from a president who has not got the traditional American values in him, and he has brought in this influx of people that are progressives and Muslims and gay people. It won't work, of course, because, you know, they can't get along with one another eventually. It's amazing to me because the most intolerant people of gay people in the world are the Muslims. They kill them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Ahmadinejad in Iran said there are no gay people in Iran. We have killed them all. Now, I don't believe that he could possibly kill them all, but he certainly, you know, squelched any kind of activity with them, which is, you know, that's wrong. But they do the same thing in Syria, and they, you know, we have this huge mess. We have a civil war in Syria that is essentially against the Shiites of Assad and the Sunnis of Al-Qaeda and who are in league, you know, with the Muslim Brotherhood throughout the Middle East, and they're killing each other. Why do we want or need to get involved?
Right, exactly.
I don't think we do.
Well, that's,
I don't think
yeah.
that we do. And, you know, and yet this is an interesting that the people from the far left are in one accord with most of the people of the far right on this. We don't want to get involved with it, and the far left thinks exactly the same way. And in the middle, you've got, you know, rhinos like McCain, and Obama pulled him in, you know, because now he wants his old nemesis, you know, to help him. And, McCain thinks that we should do this. And who's McCain's best friend in the Senate? John Kerry. Kerry wants us to go in there. He obviously wants us to go in there. The whole thing is an absolute mess. Well, listen, we're out of time, and I just want to say thank you, my friend, and I appreciate
that
you've
got on. Well, good to
talk to
you, Jack. I appreciate the time to talk with you.
And, you know, I'll send you a link to the program so you can send that out, and we'll talk again. Thanks, Gary.
All right. Take care. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. And everybody, let me just say, this is something we do not need to do. You need to call your congressmen, your senators, and say, let them kill themselves in their own civil war. We do not need to be involved. No, nobody got involved in the American Civil War. And they would have been stupid to, and we would be stupid to get involved with them. Let Obama look like the fool that he is and have egg on his face. Do not do it. Not do it. All right. Listen, and so now we're out of time, and let me just say this. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.
Thanks.